And good morning, everybody. It's time for Greenside up here on this hump day morning. I hope everybody is doing fantastic out there today. And joining me in studio from the K-State Extension offices, we have James Coover and David Scrantz. Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Hold on, let me turn you up here. There, okay, there we go, James. I forgot to turn your mic on as well. Yeah, so,
important to say anyway.
no, plenty of important stuff to say. But again, it's good to have you guys in here this morning. And James, it looks like there's a few workshops going on. It looks like that's what you got in front of you. And so before we get started on our subjects today, what are a couple of the workshops that are upcoming?
Yeah, so this Saturday... Now, we've been talking about this for a while now, is our land and land lease and law meeting. And so this Saturday from 1 to 3 o'clock, and this, you know, you can do it virtually as well. We'll have some in-person in Parsons, but virtually as well. We'll have Chuck Oddie, and he'll be talking about basically how to create a good agricultural lease. And we'll also have Roger McGowan, and he's the Washburn Law Professor, and he's going to be talking about the actual law of ag leasing. And these are two fantastic speakers. I mean, full of energy, just really awesome speakers. This is going to be a very good program. So if you lease land or you're a landowner in the area, please think about coming to this meeting or joining us virtually. It's going to be one of the good ones. And like, I know these speakers, we're going to learn a lot. So the next one I have here is on February the 23rd, and this is the corn marketing workshop. We tried to have one back a while ago in November, but you know, with COVID, it didn't really work out. So we're going to try to do this one again. It'll be on February the 23rd from 9:30 to 2:30, and this will be at the Neosho County Fairgrounds. They have a brand new building out there. We're going to have it there, and it's all going to be about grain marketing. Basically calls, puts, options, looking at the futures, actually training people how to work this stuff. And I've listened to this things many times, and it's a confusing world playing the stock market.
It is.
But for farmers, it's a matter of actually like hedging your ability, hedging your profits, quite honestly. And so it's protecting yourself. And so for farmers, it's kind of a different aspect than, you know, the wolves of Wall Street ever. but a lot of the terms are actually still the same. And so we need to really learn how to play the markets to be an effective grain marketer, to be an effective farmer, really.
All right. So, again, basically hedging your bets somewhat. So, all right. Well, James, we'll go ahead and get started with you this morning. And what is your main topic of discussion today?
Well, today I thought I would talk about oats, actually. And so spring oats is something that we call them spring oats. I believe they're just oats planted in spring. I don't know that there's really a difference between spring oats and oats any other time, different varieties. Maybe. Oats, they're supposed to winter kill. I don't know that they will anymore, honestly. They used to back in the day, but with everything the way that it is now, we've had such a mild winter. They might have not have killed this winter. But spring oats, we plant them probably around in February. You can plant them earlier, but we plant them about then. They germinate actually in fairly cold soil. But really, it's sort of around here, we plant spring oats not for the grain, because we have terrible test weights, we have terrible yields around here. It's just not worth it, honestly. That's why the reserved, the grain is grown up north. But we bring it down here for cattle forage, and it's really good cattle forage, honestly. It's like 20 to 25% protein, which is way higher than even stalkers need. And so it also is, like most cover crops, it's going to be a weed reduction. And so just the matter of covering that soil with something is going to slow the weeds down long enough. And you know, there has been research that has shown there's a 50% reduction in weeds in general, in total. But besides the reduction, the total reduction, there's also, it slows them down. Most farmers will see that they'll save actually one spray trip if they plant some sort of cover crop. And spray is incredibly expensive stuff. So it's actually cost effective. Also, it has some sort of soil protection as well. Anything that covers the soil is going to protect it. And usually the big erosion rains come, in that time frame when it's on the ground. So basically April and May. And so, and just like most cover crops, these spring oats, they can be grazed for some sort of profit involved there. And so generally these are planted into fields where it was soybeans and it's going back into soybeans, kind of a soybean to soybean rotation, not really the best ideal. But usually the soybeans, of course, if they're harvested late, we couldn't get wheat in for any reason. If they were harvested in November, which sometimes they are, you can't get wheat in. So you can kind of wait a little bit and then plant spring oats for some sort of cover crop. And, you know, generally you can plant spring oats into cornfield, but there's just not enough time because we like to plant corn really early around here. And so we need that extra month. But germination can occur when soil temperatures are at 40 degrees. And, you know, right now soil temperatures are between 35 and 40. So we are literally right there. I mean, it will not be long before the soil is warm enough to germinate them. Generally, though, they like to germinate around 45 degrees. And so maybe just a little bit warmer. But most years, I think we'd be able to plant oats a little bit earlier this year than most years, if the soil is dry enough. That's the real key with Southeast Kansas. We rarely have a dry winter. So it might happen this year. Generally, these are planted between February 20th to March 20th, but they can go anytime, really. The seeding rates are around 100 pounds to the acre, which is kind of high, but oats don't tiller much. I mean, they have to, as soon as they get in the ground and germinate, they have to get going fast. So they're not going to spend much time tillering. They only have, you know, one head per stalk. It's not quite, it's like wheat planted very, very late, honestly.
Right.
It's kind of the same aspect. It needs some nitrogen to get started. It is a grass, so it needs some nitrogen. Probably 60 pounds of nitrogen for hay. Maybe 80 pounds of nitrogen if you're going to graze it. And that really helps boost up the protein. Not only vastly quickens the growth rate, but also boosts up the protein too. And most of the stuff is going to be grazed or hayed of some fashion. It actually works well with soybeans in another aspect, in the fact that if a soybean field is low in phosphorus, we apply MAP or DAP. Well, MAP and DAP, they both have nitrogen in it that the soybeans cannot use. So, but the oats can. So we put it on before the spring oats. The oats will use nitrogen, then the soybeans can use that phosphorus later on. And so we want to plant them about an inch deep. The oats, maybe half an inch deep is probably fine if you want a faster germination. This time of year, it doesn't really that make much difference. But the, you know, you probably should, if you have one, it's better to drill them in to give a little more precision to it. If you can broadcast it, and you can even broadcast it with the fertilizer and roll them in, just like any other cover crop, small seeded cover crop, but you are kind of risking a poor germination when you roll anything because, I don't know, you're relying on the weather, honestly,
right,
when you do stuff like that, because they're not going to be very deep at all when you roll them in. But sometimes it actually works even better than drilling them in just because you have a better coverage on the field. Besides fields, though, you can actually do spring oats with gardens as well. And so for the gardeners out there, I've seen this a number of times, actually, where, you know, this time of year, their garden is all conditioned and flattened out. Then they plant spring oats out there and have a really nice, you know, 2 feet tall thing of spring oats. And then they spray them down or they can roll them down and then plant their tomatoes and their peppers into it. And so I might try that a little bit this year. I've actually got some spring oats ordered, and I'm going to try that myself, actually. But, you know, really in the garden, anything that can be transplanted. And so, and also all the vine crops, too. They like to grow on something to latch onto. So later on, you know, your watermelons and whatever. Spring oats might, I don't know, it might actually work pretty well.
Try it out this year, huh?
yeah, and it controls the weeds pretty well, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, especially for, like, organic gardeners, there are a few of them around, and spring oats really works well in that situation. A lot of them probably have already put weed in, but if they haven't yet, spring oats might function in that aspect. Oats, they're easy to kill. That's a large reason why we like cover crops, because they're a lot easier to kill than the pigweeds and all the other things, plants that we don't want, that have developed resistances. Well, oats don't have that. When it comes to planting later on, once you get all these things established, we call it planting grain, which basically means planting your soybeans into the oat crop while it's still living. And that seems odd, because what do you do with it after it's there? But you can actually spray the field after you've already planted it. Some people will spray the field well after germination. You just don't want to spray it so late that they're fighting the sunlight for the oats. But besides that, you can also use a roller crimper, which is kind of like a great big drum, really, with like these zigzags all over it. And it rolls over the oats, and it chops it up into little pieces. It actually cuts it off. It doesn't really cut it up, but it cuts off the flow of nutrients back and forth, and it will kill those oats. And so it's a way of killing those oats without using any herbicide, which is very common in organic production. But you know, there are a few rollers around here. It's a kind of somewhat uncommon thing to do, but there are some. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do with spring oats, just like you can do with a rye cover crop planted in the fall. If you've missed your window, spring oats right now can fill a lot of the same roles that did later on. And, you know, the value of that forage, you can get $1,500, $2,000, I mean, even more than that, quantity of dry forage per acre. And so that ends up being a lot of stuff with a very high protein.
Right.
And so, if you don't have fence around your field, you can still hay it as well. There's a lot of stuff you can do once you get this stuff in.
And you said, when is the best time to start planting this? Of course, we call it spring oats, but you said they're not really spring oats. Oats planted in spring. So what, a couple of months from now, or can you start doing it now?
Pretty close to now, actually. And so ideally, you want the soil. I would go by soil temperature more than a specific date. You want to plant them probably around 40, almost to 45 degrees. Is when you want to plant these, and I don't think it's going to be very long from now. You could look at the Kansas Mesonet to find what the soil temperatures are, especially at the Parsons Research Center is where the Mesonet station is. And I was looking at it, but when I was writing this, and the soil temperatures have been bouncing around 37 to 40 for a while now. And with the 10-day forecast, we might be seeing above 40 here in just two weeks.
Yeah, it's been a very mild winter, and I think the air temperatures this week are supposed to be like, for the rest of the week, are supposed to be in the 50s. So that's going to warm up the, it is weird. So, and that's going to warm up the soil temperature at some point as well, especially if there's lots of sun out there, correct?
Yes. And so soil temperatures, I mean, they're a lot more leveled out than they are the air temperatures. Mm. And so it just even 2 inches deep doesn't seem like very much, but that's a whole lot of insulation. And yeah, it's surprising how warm it is down there. I mean, you know, it's been a while since we've actually had frozen soil. It didn't even get there last year, and it's going to get not even close this year.
Right.
And so it's, I don't know, things are a little bit different than they used to be.
It would have to take the freeze of all freezes, basically, to get it down below freezing, wouldn't it?
Yes. At this point, there's really no chance of that.
Yeah. So. it's been a very mild winter, and I just haven't seen very many cold temperatures. All right. Well, we're going to take a break here in just a moment, but we do have a David Scrantz with us this morning. And David, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Just want to preview about what you're going to talk about coming up here in the next segment.
Yeah, coming up after the break, I'll be talking about some considerations when you're looking at managing land for wildlife and some different things to think about. As you might be trying to stay out of the cold weather, you can start making those plans for later in the year.
All right, sounds good. And we'll have that after the break. We'll also go over the workshops that are occurring again here before we get into that subject. But let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Wednesday morning. I hope you are doing well. And rejoining us in studio for Green Side Up are David Scrantz and James Coover. Guys, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right. Before we get over to you, Dave and James, one more time for people who may be just joining in here at the top of the hour. There are a couple of workshops that will be going on, and one is actually coming up this weekend, I do believe.
Yes. And so this Saturday is going to be our land lease and law meeting. And so for any landowner or leasee, this is going to cover how to make a good written contract, and also all the laws and regulations when it comes to making these contracts. And we cannot stress enough the importance of having a written contract and everything written down and signed. And this will be on this Saturday, January the 23rd. And we'll have an in-person part of it in Parsons if you're interested. But if you want to join us virtually as well, it'll be from 1 to 3 o'clock. And just, you know, give an extension office a call. Or go online and register, and we'll send you the Zoom link for it.
And there is no registration cost?
No. Okay. Everything we have is free. Like this right. We don't have any cost for any of our programs this spring.
All right.
So the corn marketing workshop, it will be on February the 23rd, and so 1 month from the Saturday, and it will be from 9:30 to 2:30 at the Neosho County Fairgrounds at their new building. This one, it's almost impossible to do this one in person virtually, because it's all hands-on, actually learning and going through the process of marketing and playing the futures. So this one is very important for anyone who sells some sort of commodity. And this will be from 9:30 to 2:30 at the Neosho County Fairgrounds in Erie on February the 23rd.
All right. So, again, some good things going on there here in the upcoming future. And now joining us is David Skrantz. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here this morning. And what will you be talking about today?
So this morning I'll be talking about managing land for wildlife. I know sometimes during the cold weather of the winter, or like the end of last week, it was pretty windy, so right. The weather's not always ideal to be outdoors, and I know, at least for myself, when I'm staying indoors during kind of that nasty weather, I look forward to spring and the nicer weather where I can be outside. But one activity that you can do while staying indoors and out of that nasty weather, unless you have to be, is making management plans for agriculture and wildlife, for even your garden in the spring. And making plans this winter to manage agricultural land to benefit wildlife can help lead to seeing healthy and diverse wildlife populations in the future. So a couple things to think about if you're considering this is, it is important to determine your end goal. So for example, goals could include generating income on the land from hunting, increasing habitat for personal hunting experiences, or just for the enjoyment of watching wildlife. And another important aspect, after you've kind of determined your goals, what you want to work toward, is to consider the inventory or limitations of the land. So to look at the land and identify what it has or what it doesn't have that can benefit wildlife. So to do this, assess the wooded areas, streams, fields, native vegetation, and places where the land joins another occupant. So where you may share a fence line or a hedgerow with a neighbor. So pretty much just look at the shelter the land can provide wildlife and the food and water sources, because those are the three main things that wildlife need. So there are several options that improve conditions for wildlife and also benefit producers if you have cropland or maybe pastures. And one would be to implement conservation tillage practices. While this will decrease runoff and erosion, it will also provide food for birds, deer, and small mammals. Grass waterways, field borders, and windbreaks all provide food and cover. Riparian buffers or filter strips provide feeding and nesting areas, winter shelter, and as an added benefit, the shade and fallen debris can serve as excellent spawning areas if you have a nearby stream. And in addition, simply rotating livestock can offer improved forage for wildlife, increase insect populations for birds, and can provide excellent nesting cover. And then another consideration that I know several people think about adding to their land, and I get some questions about in the office, is what about food plots or planting food plots? So food plots can be an effective way to maintain wildlife populations through the winter. And a lot of people, when they think food plots, they usually think of them in relation to deer, providing a food source for deer, especially hunters. They want to attract those deer to their property. But food plots can also be used for birds and other animals. Quail is another one. So a good food plot would consist of a mixture of grasses and forbs and contain both cool and warm season plants. This would provide food to a variety of wildlife and also provide food in more of a year-round aspect. So the wildlife start to know that food plot's there and they can come to it throughout the year instead of just having, you know, cool season grasses in that food plot that then they'll die out in the warmer part of the year. There are many reasons to begin managing agriculture land to benefit wildlife. The aesthetic and recreational benefits can lead to new hobbies such as hunting, observation, or photography. The improved wildlife habitat provides conservation benefits such as reduced soil erosion and better water quality. And there's also potential for increased income from hunting. And by providing areas that are suitable for wildlife, all ages of people can interact and discover kind of the enjoyment of watching wildlife. So it can benefit you and also maybe your neighbors, or if you're looking for additional income from the land, as I mentioned before, managing it to improve wildlife habitat for improved hunting is another option. And I've kind of talked about it before, and this one was kind of focusing on larger areas of land, but you can also manage smaller areas of land as well, even if you just have a small backyard and you want to attract birds. There's ways you can also do that.
All right, so lots of great information there. And if are you guys open to taking calls if somebody wants to call, maybe has a question about something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, our numbers are 251-6909. 1-800-252-5443, 1-800-252-KGGF. If you have a question for James or a Dave, and we would love to hear from you this morning. James this morning was talking about spring oats, and it's some Dave and given us some great information about the wildlife here in this time of year. So, David, would the way we've had this mild winter, is that going to affect what's going to be coming up in the summer, where usually in the winter it kills off a lot of, you know, small pests and stuff like that that aren't able to get, like, maybe weasel their way into your house? But
yeah.
But is that going to have an effect on this summer, maybe like population of certain animals?
Yeah, it will have an effect this summer, and I think probably also be seeing more of an effect this spring as well, because like you said, it's been a warmer winter, so you haven't seen kind of the effect that you usually do of a harsh winter on certain pests. And also I've seen it a little bit last winter, more towards February, is that when it's a warmer winter, it kind of causes wildlife that would usually be hibernating to get out and about a little bit earlier. I know last year, I think it was towards the end of February, maybe a lady actually brought a snake into the office to be identified. Yeah, so it wasn't my favorite thing to have visit our office, but it was surprising to see it already out and about. So with the warmer weather we've been having, we'll probably start seeing those critters or other types of wildlife out and about instead of staying hibernating. Yeah.
Three things I cannot deal with: one are snakes, two are spiders, even though I can kind of deal with spiders to a certain extent to get rid of them, but I don't like to see them. The other one, and this is just because I'm allergic to them, is wasps. Mm-hmm. And that's what I worry about, having just a mild winter, that they may start popping up again pretty soon. And again, if they sting me, this is not good when that happens. So and I had like a small nest that was like right by my door. I was able to kind of get inside before they noticed I was there, but I had the wasp spray, and I just kind of like peeked out the door and sprayed at it and then got it back inside real quick, and luckily I was able to get rid of it. But insects like that, with it being so mild, they probably will have a early reemergent, would they not?
Yeah, I would think so, because we haven't had the freezes like we were talking about earlier, and I think this week it's supposed to be in the 50s, so we're already seeing a little bit warmer weather, especially right. for January. So
it may even touch 60 at some point next week. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so yeah. It's, again, we haven't, I want some snow. we had some on New Year's Day, and I thought we'd get a little bit more. But, well, guys, again, if anybody does have any questions that they would like to ask about you, obviously you can call right now, or if they would like to get a hold of you at your offices, how can they get a hold of you?
I'm usually at the Independence office, and that phone number is 620-331-2690. But of course, if they call any of the extension offices, they'll be able to transfer that call.
And I'm usually in the Girard or the Erie office, and that number is 620, or the Girard is 620-724-8233.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And again, remember, workshop coming up this weekend, a big one. And again, that's going to be, where's that going to be located again?
That's going to be, well, most of it's going to be virtual, but if you want to come in person, mm-hmm. that's going to be at the Parsons Research Center there in Parsons on 400.
All right. Sounds good. Again, guys, thank you so much for coming in. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you guys here again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for
sounds
having
good.
Us.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.